Near-Death Experience Podcast, an ongoing exploration of spiritually transformative experiences, including NDEs and other phenomena, in order to elucidate the ineffable and better understand our spirituality. All episodes are available at ndepodcast.org. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and guests are not necessarily those of NDE Podcast, the NDERF, any sponsors, or for that matter, anyone else. In the end, the only opinion that really matters is yours.
Welcome to Near-Death Experience Podcast, the official source of audio accounts for the Near-Death Experience Research Foundation. I'm Chaz Hathaway, author of Life in the Spirit World, What Near-Death Experiences May Teach Us About Life on the Other Side. Today we're going to share a couple of experiences. The first is from Anita on NDERF.org, the Near-Death Experience Research Foundation website. Anita says, I was in an extreme emotional state. I had periodically suffered bouts of depression, but this time I was unable to work myself out of it. I was not on any medication, nor had it ever occurred to me to seek professional help for it. I understand now that possibly heredity and traumatic childhood contributed to my illness. Anyway, I had secluded myself in my apartment, stopped going to work, couldn't eat or sleep. I just paced and paced with all my thoughts racing. At some point I thought, I want to die. And I said aloud, please, God, don't let me die like this. In that instant, I was somewhere else. There was darkness, I think somewhere to my right, but before me was this incredible light. So very bright, inviting, loving. At the same moment, I felt an all-pervasive sense of acceptance, love, and warmth. I experienced a life review. Every moment of my life, everything I had forgotten or was not particularly aware of at the time. The voice from the light was speaking to me, not in words, rather like transferred knowledge and assurance. At the time, I thought of myself as a damaged person and did not like myself. The voice told me that I was perfectly fine and that all things I thought were flaws were illusions and negative stuff simply laid over my true being like a dirty coat. The light loved me unconditionally. I felt I was home. I was estranged from my father at the time. I remember seeing my father in my life review and understanding that he had behaved the way he did because of a continuum of actions in his life and before his life. I understood where other people were coming from, right, wrong, or indifferent. At the same time, I also understood that everything happens as they are meant to. I knew the why. That is one of the things I can't remember. But it made perfect sense, and I thought, yes, of course, how could I have forgotten? It was so simple. I was shown what was important and what was not. Love, above all, was the purpose of the universe, and that we are all interconnected. In the next instant, I was back sitting on the edge of my bed. I felt light, happy, and blissful. I also felt like God had picked me up by the scruff of my neck and shook the nonsense out of me. I was awake. In the beginning, or in the experience, everything seemed to have happened all at once. The light, the voice, the life review, the imparting of immense knowledge. I had not left my apartment in days, but immediately went outside and marveled at everything I saw. I just walked up and down the streets feeling so happy and relieved. This feeling lasted several days. I eventually went back to my normal consciousness, but I have never forgotten the experience or the lessons I learned. I've had many more lessons to learn, but I believe if I had not had the experience of this experience, I would not have survived. I do not know of any specific purpose for any of us other than the injunction that we help each other, and that self-absorbed selfishness is a waste of opportunity or worse. I feel the voice, God, is with me and all of us, always. I have no fear of dying. I firmly believe we will all go home. That is the end of Anita's experience. You know, these things never cease to strike me with the, the way that that the spiritual realm plays with time, or lack thereof, I guess. You know, here Anita is having this experience. I mean, it's not even a near-death experience in terms of a nearly dying experience. It's not near dying at all. And it's not even a feared death experience. It's just you might say it's a depressive death experience, or near depressive experience. I mean, what do you call these kinds of things? And it's not like getting depressed enough brings these things on, because I know myself and many others, most people, have experienced extreme moments of depression, and it has not led to a near-death-like experience. But Anita's did. Why? I don't know. But it made a huge difference for her. For her, it may have just been an answer to her prayer. Please, God, don't let me die like this. So why should she have this experience when other people don't? Well, that's a really hard question to answer, because it's kind of like the question of why does one person get the miracle of being delivered from trauma or sickness or disease or pain or whatever, and then another not delivered. It looks so unfair from our point of view. But when we see these things in their true light, just like Anita says, when she saw her own life and the context of those who had seemingly brought her pain, she saw it as this grand scheme that was not only fair, but beautiful. She talks about how the flaws and so forth that she had assumed she had were illusions, and the negative stuff was simply laid over her like a dirty coat, something that could be taken off and thrown to the ground at a moment's notice. Now, how do you do that? I don't know. I don't know if it's even possible in this life, but at some point, that dirty coat will come off. So it's very interesting. She says at the time, when she's having this life review during her near-death experience, she says, at the time, I also understood that everything happens as they are meant to. I knew the why. But then she goes on to say, that's one of the things I can't remember. She can't remember the why. But just like so many other experiencers, she says, but it made perfect sense. And I thought, yes, of course. How could I have forgotten? It was so simple. So whatever this life is about, whatever it is that makes sense of all the suffering, the pain, the unfairness, the cruelty, depression, all of it is actually really very simple. And it's really very sensible and loving and interconnected. How does that work? I don't know. I don't know, because I don't see it. But all of us will one day. And that's incredibly comforting to me personally. Okay, let's go on to Joanne. This is also from enderf.org. Joanne says, All I remember is that I felt my spirit leave my body. I saw people around my body working on it, and the nurses and doctors were starting CPR. I also saw a bright light and was drawn to it. As I got closer to the path I was on, a woman met me that I felt I knew. She talked to me, telling me that it was not my time to join her. I called her by name, and she was amazed that I knew her. She was my father's sister, Anne, who had passed away for many years. I remember telling her that I wanted to stay because it seemed so nice and peaceful, and that it didn't hurt anymore. She told me that I needed to stay here with my mother and father, for God had a plan for me, that I need to fulfill this plan, and that I need to fulfill this plan. I asked her what it could be, and she said that one day my daughter would come to me with a problem, and that she would need me. Being 4 years of age, I didn't understand, but she told me that I had to go back to my body. I had to see my mother and father again. She also said that I was to be comforting my father when he passed on the other side. I then felt someone or something push me into my body. I was arguing about the pushing and was trying to run into the light at the end of the path. No matter where I went, I got pushed further and further until I gave up and returned to my body. The last thing I remember was that my aunt, Anne, kept telling me that it would be many, many years that will pass until I am able to make my journey on the path again, and not to worry. The next time that I make the journey, I will be successful. As I remember this, it is comforting that I am not ready to cross over. And if and when I do, I know that it is a peaceful place I will go to. That is the end of Joanne's experience. Just a lovely, quintessential near-death experience. She's having CPR, or she's being given CPR as she's leaving her body, or maybe the CPR starts afterward. It's kind of not clear there, but she can see her body there, being resuscitated, or making the attempt to resuscitate the nurses and doctors, and then she's drawn to this light. She's her aunt, who seems to be surprised that she recognizes her. She doesn't go into more detail about that. Joanne doesn't. She doesn't say, well, I knew her from her pictures, or I remembered her from before I came to this life, or what. She doesn't really specify that, but she does mention that her aunt seems surprised that she recognizes her. There's something about all of that I find so interesting. I don't know if it's the idea that our loved ones on the other side, not only are they, of course, comforting and waiting for us, probably protecting, offering some kind of guidance, and so forth, but also that they don't necessarily have a perfect picture of how things are going to play out. And I have to admit, when I read the part that she says, the last thing I remember was that my aunt Anne telling me there would be many, many years until I would pass, until she would be given the opportunity to make that path again, basically until she would die, and to not worry because the next time the journey will be successful. Now, it's easy to assume that her aunt, being on the other side and as wise and intelligent and spiritually in tune as her aunt would be by this time, she would certainly know. But in the experience of my reading, it appears that often they don't know, though they have great insight into what may happen, what can happen, and what is likely to happen. It's not a perfect knowledge, and so even those on the other side don't know everything about what's going to happen in our lives. And kind of what I gather from that whole idea is that the next life, while we are obviously very given a great deal of insight, and we become insightful just being in the spirit form, we're not yet all-knowing, so to speak. We may have access to knowledge much easier. Answers may come more readily, but we're still learning and we're still growing. And I think that that progression continues into the eternities to come. How that works, I don't know exactly, but that's what seems to be going on. So when people encounter loved ones on the other side, they are often, you know, greeted with surprise, like, what are you doing here? And you would think, well, wouldn't somebody on the other side see that I was coming? Wouldn't they have foreknowledge that I was coming? Not always. Not always. In fact, often there's a little bit of a surprise there. But that tells me that there is still much learning going on the other side, which honestly is a great comfort to me, because I love to learn. I love to seek out knowledge. I love to try to understand things. I love to gain new paradigms, new ways of seeing the world. And obviously death is going to be a massive one. When I die, I'm going to be seeing both my life and the spirit world in a whole new light. But also, I will be able to continue to go on learning for the eternities to come. At least that's what I get out of all of this. So, if you would like to contact the podcast, you can do so by either emailing me, chaz@ndepodcast.org. You can contact John at john@ndepodcast.org. You can also make a monthly contribution by going to patreon.com/ndepodcast. And once again, all of you, thank you so much for listening. Thank you.